Today, my dear faithful, is the 17th Sunday after Pentecost. And the epistle is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 4. Brethren, I therefore, a prisoner in the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation in which you are called, with all humility and mildness, with patience, supporting one another in charity, careful to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, one body and one Spirit, as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in us all, who is blessed forever and ever. Amen. And the Holy Gospel. Taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 22. At that time, the Pharisees came to Jesus, and one of them, a doctor of the law, asked him, tempting him, "Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart, and with thy whole soul, and with thy whole mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. And the second is like to this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments dependeth the whole law and the prophets." And the Pharisees, being gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, "What think you of Christ? Whose son is he?" They say to him, "David's." He saith to them, "How then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit on my right hand, until I make thy enemies thy footstool." If David then call him Lord, how is he his son? And no man was able to answer him a word, neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. And thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart, and with thy whole soul, and with thy whole mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. And the second is like to this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Words taken from the Gospel of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Some years ago, my dear faithful, my family and I visited the World Trade Center Memorial. We went on a tour guided by a retired firefighter. Step by step, our tour guide went through what happened that day. He recounted the plane's crash, the collapse of the buildings, and the heroism of those who tried to save the victims. He then finished the tour by telling us of his own personal experience of what happened that day. He got the call for all firefighters, both active and retired, to report to the World Trade Center. Retired though he was, he ran out of his apartment to his car. He just started driving and could see the North Tower already hit, pouring forth smoke. Then, right before his eyes, another plane flew into the second tower. He was shocked at this, and that was when he realized this was not just an accident. This was a deliberate attack on our country. There, the firefighter finished his story, and he then took off his microphone, and he handed it to my cousin, who stepped forward. My cousin then told her story of her personal experience on September 11th. She was at home as she just finished getting her three children ready for school. But she got a call from her husband, William Wick, or Billy, as we all called him. You see, Billy worked in one of the Twin Towers, the South Tower. "Everything is fine," he calmly told his wife. "But it may be a while before I get home. There was some kind of accident. A plane or a helicopter hit the North Tower." He could see from his window the smoke billowing from the other tower as the fires raged inside the building. Billy continued saying, "They are trying to get everything under control right now, and they told us to just wait in our building so that they can evacuate the North Tower first." That was about all that was said in that conversation, and it lasted maybe just a few moments. But it was the last one Billy would ever have with his wife. We all know the terrible events that followed, that another plane hit the South Tower as well, and that in just a short time, both towers came crashing to the ground. Soon, rescue crews began digging through the thousands of tons of twisted metal and broken cement. They hoped and they hunted for survivors. We heard nothing from my cousin Bill. For days, my family waited, we hoped, and we prayed. Maybe as the rubble was cleared away, he would be found, he would be all right. His wife would still have a husband. His three children would still have a father. As the days passed, though, our hope faded as well. Finally, Billy was found, but not alive. His body was found in the stairwell of the South Tower. We consider ourselves lucky, though, that we had even this. For out of the 2,606 victims in the World Trade Center, Billy's body was one of the 300 that were found whole. And his body told us the story of his last hour. My cousin was found wearing a fireman's helmet and jacket, holding a heavy flashlight in his hand, and surrounded by a group of firefighters. We can only guess at the events, but it seems Bill had, in fact, gotten out of the tower. Then, instead of leaving and returning home to his family, he went to the firemen and asked if he could help. Being familiar with the buildings and a well-built man, he led the firefighters into the burning tower to help with the rescue. He lost his life in the attempt, and his death brought great sadness to us and his family. But what a death it was. What an honor to know he died sacrificing himself for others. What better way is there to die? He died following that great commandment in today's gospel. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Of course, that is the second great commandment. The first is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart, and with thy whole soul, and with thy whole mind. They are a summary of all that we have to do in life, all that we were created for. As the Catechism tells us, we were created to know, love, and serve God, and to be happy with Him the next. Love of God is our most essential duty, what God desires from us above all else. This is because of the infinite love of the Sacred Heart for all mankind, for each and every soul. The heart of Christ burns with an infinite fire of love for souls. For souls, our Lord became a little child in the cold of winter. For souls, he ascended his cross and died the most horrifying death. For souls, he imprisoned himself in the tabernacle for all the centuries to follow. All this Christ did for love of us, and to win love from us for him. As our Lord revealed to St. Margaret Mary, nothing wounds our Lord more than the ingratitude of mankind. That is, their lack of love in return for his generosity to us. Love or charity is what God demands from us. Our Lord commanded it in today's Gospel as the fundamental law upon which the Catholic religion is built. However, we are not to love only God. Our Lord commanded us to love our neighbor as well, for the sake of God. The reason for this is that our Lord desires us to love him, and to truly love him, we must love what he loves. Our Lord loves men with an infinite love, and thus we too must love mankind. So dear is this love of neighbor to his most sacred heart that at the Last Supper, as some of his last words with his chosen apostles, our Lord commanded them, "Love one another as I have loved you." The early Christians followed and lived this law of charity so much so that they could even be identified by it. During the Roman persecutions in the first 300 years after Christ, those who hunted for Christians to put them to death could readily find them by looking for those who practiced kindness, patience, generosity. Today, we Catholics must have that same more than any others. You know, one of the most outstanding facts of the 9/11 tragedy was the incredible charity that followed. Food, clothing, funds, supplies, volunteers, the charity of so many poured out in all so many ways to help those who were suffering. My cousin, with her family of three children, received an incredible amount of help from others' kindness and generosity. If so many could do this out of merely natural kindness, what should we not be willing to do for the love of God? Billy Wick and many others lost their lives helping others escape from a fire. What should we not do to help souls escape from the eternal fires of hell? Our good example, our charity, kindness, and generosity can win souls to God. St. Paul, in his first epistle to the Corinthians, he lists a number of qualities that charity must have. And one of the first St. Paul gives is, charity is kind. Kindness is one of the first qualities of charity because it is one of the most fundamental of its aspects. If you look up the definition for kindness, you will find to be kind means being friendly, generous, and considerate. Being friendly, generous, and considerate to our fellow man, these are ways we follow that law of charity. Love thy neighbor as thyself. However, kindness may not appear to be a great and noble virtue. In fact, even St. Francis de Sales, who is called the saint of kindness, says how trivial and poor all this appears. It doesn't strike the imagination as something really great and noble to be striven for. Human nature is more inclined to do great things, things that will be recognized, like winning an argument for the faith, converting a person by our wisdom, or something else that is more notable. However, as St. Francis de Sales explains, these lesser hidden virtues, like kindness, done out of great love to God, is far more excellent than a rarer and grander one done with less love. In other words, it is not so much what we do, whether we do great things or little. The measure of the worth of our good deeds is the charity with which we do them. Love of God and love of neighbor, the generosity and selflessness that can make even the smallest deed of great merit. St. Francis de Sales lists some examples of these small deeds that can go almost unnoticed, but done for charity can be so comforting to the Sacred Heart, and even win souls by it. Replying amiably to someone who has given us an undeserved and sharp reproof, bearing good humoredly being laughed at, or accepting with gentleness the refusal of a kindness. These are examples of small deeds of kindness, done not expecting anything in return. They are examples of marks of a true Catholic, someone who really follows our Lord's law of love. And so I encourage you, my dear faithful, keep kindness as your daily companion. Let charity motivate your actions. Show all that you are truly Catholics, living your life following our Lord's law. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Do not let yourself be outdone by those who are not even Catholic. Charity is our special duty, and we receive special graces to have that true Christian charity. Especially when you see suffering, prove yourself a follower of Christ and have kindness for your neighbor. And out of your charity, as this month marks the 20th anniversary of 9/11, I ask you to please remember in your prayers the victims of that day, all those who lost their lives that day, and those who lost their loved ones as well. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.